Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And the Mike White Experience was top billing. Now that Zach Wilson is going to be able to take center stage again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Now we're starting Joe Flacco.
Yeah, listen, I'm excited about it.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL insider Mike Tannenbaum. Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels. Still to come, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Plus, actor and comedian David Alan Greer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Very excited to have David Alan Greer in studio once again. I'm a big fan of his and his work. And I you know, he's a Michigan guy, and there's just lots to connect with. And it's just great having human beings here. And my daughter... my daughter watched Clifford the Big Red Dog over the weekend. That's his new film. He plays Packard, and it's just great to see the dog doing back in action. And Clifford, I read those books, and my daughter calls it the greatest movie she's ever seen. And she's eight. And that's what it's all about, is it not? That's what it's all about, is it not? So David Alan Greer is about to come out here on this show. The Saints just announced they are fetting Drew Brees during the Thanksgiving nightcap against the Bills. And they're going to honor him at halftime of that game.
I thought you said they're going to try to get him to come back.
No. Well, maybe they'll ask him that during halftime, but I doubt it. And I wish the Saints well on that, because it seems that every single return of somebody to be in a Ring of Honor this year, you know, the Eagles shut out pretty much the Lions when they put why am I blanking on his name right now in the Ring of Honor? They put
Calvin Johnson.
No, not Calvin Johnson. No, Calvin Johnson got his ring, and they got their ass kicked on that game. Chris Spielman in the Ring of Honor. Eli Manning, the Giants got smoked when they put. It just seems that everybody's been honored this year. It's been difficult. I'd like to actually maybe even look that up, but the Saints are taking on the Eagles this weekend. And this is a big game for both teams. And the man who's calling that, and who also called last week on Fox, the Washington football team beating the Bucs, one of our favorites back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mark Schlereth. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. You know what, Rich? You're 100% right. Here in Denver, they honored Mike Shanahan, put him in the Ring of Fame. And then they played the Raiders, and the Raiders acted like it was a rivalry. And the Broncos played like they had dinner reservations that they were late to. Yeah, same type of thing here in Denver.
I'm telling you, I think we need to look that up, Chris. Like, let's figure that one out, because
that's a deep dive.
Woe to the Saints, certainly since the Bills are coming in. So what did you learn watching the Bucs come off their bye week and get hit in the mouth by the Washington football team, Mark?
Yeah, you know, it was really strange. I mean, first and foremost, they really put a tent, kind of coverage-wise, Washington did, against the Bucs. They put a tent, and they basically said, you're going to throw it underneath, we're going to rally around and try to make tackles. And it was interesting, because Brady tried to involve the backs, and there must have been six drops in that game by running backs. So they were consistently behind the chains. They did get loose one time with a big play over the top to Mike Evans that Brady was exceptional in, but they were just out of sync. And of course, they didn't run the ball. I mean, it was always a 13-point, 7-point, 9-point, whatever it was, game. But it just seemed like they had completely abandoned that, and we're going to win the way we want to win, which is throwing the ball and you know, and dumping it to the backs. And ultimately, none of that stuff really worked. And it was really more about lack of execution to me on the offensive side of the ball. If they complete those balls to the backs, and they're every one of them is a catchable ball, you know, you're in a different ball game, because you're not in third down and seven. You're not in third down and nine. You're in third down and two, and, you know, that's a much better place to live, obviously, as an offense.
So, but you know how we are in this NFL media world, that the Bucs are in trouble. They've lost two around a bye right now, and the NFC's wide open, and it's anybody's to win. Do you believe that right now?
No. Do I think they're in trouble? No, I mean, absolutely not. You know, they're a solid football team. They're playing great up front. Their O-line is a really good unit, one of the top units in football. And then when you just talk about pure talent, Rich, I mean, they are the most talented. When you look at Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and some of the secondary players they didn't even have, obviously Gronkowski coming, you know, he's got the rib injury, and Antonio Brown didn't play. This kid Johnson, Tyler Johnson, is playing really well. They've got a boatload of talent. They started, I think, 8 different corner combinations through their first 9 games. So they've been injured. They're going to get Murphy Bunting back. They're going to get Carlton Davis back. They're going to be loaded. They're just going to be absolutely loaded down the stretch run. So you hate losing games. I get that. But am I concerned that all of a sudden they're not going to be good anymore? They're not going to be a playoff contender or a Super Bowl contender? No, not at all. I think they're going
to
be great.
So if you have to place the Schlereth mortgage in house on an NFC team to make the Super Bowl, which one would you do it on? Which one?
Well, Green Bay. I think Green Bay is probably under the radar to some degree, because I think their defense is playing so much better than anybody gives them credit for. It's hard to focus on anything other than, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the season that he has and the player that he is. But I think Green Bay is probably playing as well as anybody. But you know how this league is. I mean, if the last 2 weeks have told you anything, it is more week to week than it has ever been in any time I can remember. But I would probably, if I had a place a bet, I'd probably go Green Bay right now.
Yeah, Dallas is, you know, it's amazing how, you want to talk about week to week is, I mean, Dallas gets smoked by Denver and then does the deed itself to Atlanta, right? And then Denver itself goes from playing easily their best game of the Vic Fangio era, if you want to call it that, easily. And it's one of Bridgewater's best games that he's played, and I know that he subbed in for Breeze and played very well there too. But this is Teddy's virtuoso performance. And then he olays big play Slay the next week. How did that how does something like that land in a locker room when you're watching back on film?
Well, I mean, it's horrendous. As a player, simply because, you know, especially the quarterback position, you know, everybody on that team is, you know, taking shots for you, right? I mean, they're putting it on the line so that you can be as good as you can be, and you're doing anything you can do to keep people off your quarterback, and for your quarterback to basically just sidestep contact, you know, to not make a play. That becomes one of those things where it becomes kind of independent contractor, and that's the best way to lose football games. When every guy is out there going, I'm playing for me. I'm not playing for us. This is not a we thing. This is a me thing. And when you get to that point as a football team, you'll never be any good. And now you look at the Broncos in general. Under Vic Fangio the last 2 years, 13 home games, 7 of them have been losses by double digits at home. You look at right now the Raiders, they were uncompetitive. In the end of the game, a guy they voted team captain before the season started, Cortland Sutton, end of the game, late third quarter, Teddy Bridgewater throws an interception, and it's being returned, and Cortland Sutton just walks off the field. Doesn't chase it. I mean, he's your team captain. And he just quit on that play. And then you get the same thing. Teddy Bridgewater, who you voted team captain, does the same thing on Darius Slay. Unacceptable. And that goes to, you know, that goes to culture. That goes to the head coach. I worked as a plumber's apprentice one summer when I was probably 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm working, and this guy says, this guy says to me, hey, man, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about plumbing. And I basically have a shovel, and I'm digging a ditch down to the septic tank from this apartment complex we're building. And he said, and I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to get everything I need to know about plumbing right now. And he goes, okay, you ready? I said, yes. Yeah, I'm ready to take it all in, right, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, basically, I'll clean this up for the radio.
Right.
Poop flows downhill. Make sure you've got a, you know, make sure you've got gravity on that pipe you're digging. That 50 yards of dirt you're going to move, make sure it's flowing downhill. That's all you need to know. And from an organizational standpoint, if your owner or your head coach doesn't establish and live a culture every single day, it's going to filter down to the players, and the players are going to take culture is built. It's the path of least resistance. And if you don't hold people accountable at the very top of your organization, how do you expect expect the people underneath you to hold themselves accountable? And it's unfortunate because that's not the Denver Broncos that I played for, and it's it's upsetting.
I mean, Elway's the helicopter guy, right? I mean, for lack of a better phrase,
right.
You know what I mean? And he's got to be seeing this too. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. What do you do? I mean, this is a team that has an opportunity to make the playoffs this year, but I think you could already see that they still haven't found the answer at quarterback, right, for their future.
Yeah, well, I mean, like Teddy Bridgewater is not the future quarterback of your organization. You just don't have him on your roster. Whoever that guy is, he's not part of your roster right now. So, but again, you can still do things the right way.
So do you think you're one of the, if I'm not mistaken, you sent some serious alarm bells on draft night, Mark, on your Twitter feed. Is Deshaun Watson still or Rodgers still a possibility here in Denver? Do you think?
I don't think there's any question if those guys became available that new general manager George Payton would be, first in line to see what he could come up with. You know, and that's part of moving Von Miller and getting a third and a second and, doing some of the deals that he has done here in this season to try to get as much draft capital as possible. Because if any of these guys becomes available, if the Packers decide it's time to move on, I believe without any doubt that the Broncos would be first in line to try to make a play. That doesn't mean they'll get him, but I think they'll try to make a play.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the question is, though, if you're Rodgers, and if you do make that move and you'd want to win now, I don't know if the Broncos would have that leg up, like, say, the Steelers might or – and obviously Deshaun Watson, would have to realize that there would still be a process for him if that's what he's looking for. But clearly if he's okaying South Florida and Miami, he knows that he's ready for something like that. I just don't know if Denver is, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
Mark.
Rich, I think they're a more talented roster than their record would necessarily indicate.
Right.
And so, I think they've got some talented pieces, but I always told my son when he was coming up in baseball and playing even in the major leagues, talent's wasted on talented people. And it's so much more than talent. It requires so much more. Talent is it's really nice to have, but talent, if you don't have the work ethic and you don't have the desire and you don't have the all the other intangible aspects to it, talent really doesn't mean anything.
A few more minutes left here with Mark Schlereth. You got Saints-Eagles this week. You had, as I mentioned, Bucks-Washington football team last week. The best team you've seen with your own two eyes going around the country for Fox this year so far has been which team, Mark?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Okay.
Because I've seen different – I think the Saints' defense is incredible. Obviously, offensively, they have to win the way they have to win. They've got to manage Trevor Siemian. They've got to, their receiving core isn't what it once was. So that's really hard. Baltimore did a Baltimore game. When they're running the ball, they can be dynamic, but the defense has got some issues. I don't know that I've seen what I would call a complete football team over the course of this year. On film, I think Tampa's the most talented team in football, and I still would probably put them from all the teams that I've called as the best team I've called. They had a bad, you know, they had a bad result in the game that I called, but I still think they're just studying film and going back three games and really digging in. And then the game I called, I think they're, you know, the most talented team that I've called.
What about the AFC then? Which one do you think has got the best shot here? Tennessee, a game and a half in front of of the Ravens right now. You know, what do you think?
In the AFC? You know, Chiefs Tennessee is interesting, and this is part of the, I think this is part of, for me, the part of the problem with the NFL right now is many teams don't have identities, and that's what I love about the Tennessee Titans. They know who they are, and they play to that strength. Like, there's nothing better than, I'll reminisce back to my playing days in Denver. If we got in a second down and short situation, and I'm sitting in the huddle, I'm standing in the huddle waiting, I know without question what plays are getting called. We're either running 18-19 handoff, 14-15 handoff for QB sneak, 100%. Because we're going to churn. We're going to churn first downs. We're going to beat you up at the line of scrimmage. We're going to pound you, make you defend it. We're going to get a first down and get three more downs. And so when you have an identity, you know what's coming. You set your jaw and you prepare yourself. And that's how you impose your will upon other teams. You know what you're good at, and it's very much like Global Gym. We're better than you, and we know it. And here we come. And that's Tennessee to me. They know what they are, right? They just, there's not one guy on that team that questions what the philosophy is, what the identity is. They know what they're going to do. And there's not only can you execute it because it's what you do all the time, right? So you're going to be better at executing it, but there's a comfort in knowing what you are. And I think there's a lot of teams that week to week, they want to be something other than they are. They want to be special. They want to do something, you know, outside the box. And more often than not, it's kind of like the New England Patriots. You lose more games than you win. And they just kind of wait around for you to make mistakes and capitalize on those mistakes.
That's
where I'm at.
That's what I hear you, Mark, and that's why we're talking about teams in week 10 that are quote-unquote back. You know, the Patriot way appears back. The Chiefs looked like the Chiefs that with their identity. And you could say the thing about the 49ers, another Shanahan coach team, like running it 40 times, putting Debo in the backfield to get him away from Jalen Ramsey, throwing it over the middle to Kittle no matter what. You know, that's the stuff. And there has to be some sort of, I guess, metric in knowing your identity and then playing to it to success.
Yeah, you know, the 49ers, you mentioned them. I could see them winning seven of the next eight games and being a legit playoff contender. I mean, that game was going on. I sent my wife upstairs with a dog and, you know, went to the study, put a tie on the doorknob. That thing was like, I mean, they're just physically whipping the snot out of people, shortening necks. I mean, that's my kind of football. I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm in on this. This is awesome.
Tie on the doorknob means what, Mark? What does that mean?
It means I need to be left alone right now. Papa Bear's watching football.
Papa Bear, thanks for coming on this show, man. Let's do this more often. You take care of yourself.
Anytime, Rich. Take care, buddy.
That's Mark Schlereth. You can catch him in, on Fox with Adam Amin, Saints and Eagles this week. Hey, man, you were talking about the Eagles are on the outside looking in. They're sniffing it. They're on the periphery of sniffing it.
Absolutely.
That's a big game, 4-6. And then the Saints sitting there in a playoff spot right now in the NFC. That's a pretty darn big football game for week 11. Let's take a break. We'll come back. David Alan Greer is here in studio. This will be fun. That's next. Don't you dare move.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're here on NBC Sports on Peacock, and we're here on NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM 85, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, coast to coast. Thrilled to have back here in person. Great to see this man in the flesh. Ooh. Clifford the Big Red Dog is available now in theaters and on Paramount Plus. David Alan Greer, how are you, sir?
Rich, you know, it's so great to be back in the studio.
Thank you.
I like being here in person. You know, last time I think we spoke via phone.
Indeed.
Something.
On the phone. It's, pandemic conversation.
Yeah, it's never as good as being in the studio.
Well, we missed you, and it's okay if you want to admit. Did your coffee mug break? And you wanted,
no.
You wanted a new one? And
no, okay. You don't know me at all. I have to have backups. It's not about breaking. No, it's like
there's a ceramic depth chart.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess so. I'm gonna be too deep.
You'll be too deep,
just in case something happens.
That's the way you like to play defense.
The
too deep mug.
You know, Plan B. Plan B.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And I feel
yes
that my mug love was questioned.
Oh boy,
by certain listeners, viewers.
Okay.
But I was speaking from the heart, man. Come on.
I was speaking.
We don't have to revisit it. But yes, it's still one of my top mugs.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
Well, I'm thrilled that you are here. Greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So is my entire family.
Whoa.
I don't know if you're aware.
If you've
read your reviews for Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh.
That is available now in theaters and on Paramount Plus. But my 8-year-old daughter
yes.
called it the greatest movie she's seen in her life.
That, ladies and gentlemen, she may be the first female president of this
country. Like,
what is her name?
She's got
I
this
ask?
Up. Taylor Mattingly Eisen. Her middle name is Mattingly after my favorite baseball
Mattingly
player, Don Mattingly. Yes.
Mattingly Eisner. President Mattingly
yes,
Eisner.
Right, exactly. Clifford the Big Red Dog mm-hmm. in theaters now. Taylor said, because we want, at Saturday night there was a certain... we had a dinner party at our house
yes.
outdoors
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that my daughter was occupied.
Oh.
Thankfully, Paramount Plus came in and was a very terrific way. And she couldn't wait to see it. She's a big, fan of the book series and dogs in general. And now David Alan Greer.
Thank you. You know, so is my daughter, but she's 13 and a half. So she was not interested in Clifford. That's for children. She is a teenager.
Okay.
And she reminds me every day.
Okay.
Own music, different than mine, clothing, sense of style, all of it.
So Clifford the TikTok dog would be more?
Oh, TikTok is what?
Is that, like, that mean Clifford the TikTok
yeah, she's
dog?
Not on, she's not on social media, but so whenever she's with me, she's like, man, look at TikTok. I'm like, what? Why? What is there to look at? I'm an old man now. What is this TikTok?
See, my issue is my son, my oldest, he's 13, which is why I went yeah. straight for the TikTok, because mm-hmm. he's totally nuts about that. He also wants to watch YouTube, and that is a particularly dangerous wormhole for a 13-year-old to go on.
But at least it's full length. TikTok is like how to fly to the moon in 30 seconds. Right. Or you need a rocket. Now space, boom, and you're on the moon. You're an astronaut. That's what, I mean, there's more to it than that.
There is definitely more to it than that.
You know.
Yeah, they do cut to the chase a little bit quicker.
At least YouTube, they get you in there and they really indoctrinate you. You don't need vitamins. You just need dirt. That's all you need.
Just rub it on there.
Eat it.
I know.
It'll cure everything.
So I say to him, get off of TikTok. And he goes, why? Doesn't the Rich Eisen show? And get off of YouTube. He goes, why? Doesn't the Rich Eisen show have a YouTube page? And it's just like, okay, now.
You guys, if you were on TikTok, think how short your day would be.
Well,
Rich Eisner, sports, David Greer. He's gone now. Short show's over. That'll be it.
And that'll wrap it up.
That'll be it.
Well, TJ Jefferson is our social media grandmaster in the corner. And he just, you know, he You're how old are you, TJ?
I'm old, man.
Okay, so there's no.
I'm old, but man. He's much younger than me.
I know. Although, wait a minute. Do we have this photograph? Let's put it up on the screen, if you don't mind, Mike Hoskins. TJ, you and TJ have met before.
We hung out, man, yeah. Back in the day.
So there's a back in the day photograph of you, TJ, and Ashton Kutcher. There it is, right there.
Look at that. Look how young I am. I have hair.
Man. That was like 2001.
I still have the hat.
Where is this? Is this like a pizza place? What is this?
I'm going to tell you where this was at. Don't tell me. This was at an airport.
Okay.
And this is a little place we went in to grab some food because we were on our way to Costa Rica.
Exactly.
Boom.
Wow.
Costa Rica.
Did you guys vacation? You guys vacation together in Costa Rica?
Well, kind of, sort of. As I recall.
Yes.
It was an opening of an online casino.
Yes, in San Jose.
Yep, we were flown down there.
Uh huh.
And it was a very intense. Was it 24 hours?
It was like 48 for some.
You got down. I know I was jet lagged completely.
Mm-hmm.
I was so jet lagged, and I fell down these stone steps, like slipped, because they were all stone, and it was like kind of raining.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Under normal circumstances, I would have got in bed. But I just piled on the Advil and, woo, middle-aged guy partying. Yeah.
Was that your recollection, too, TJ?
I remember it was, you know, a lot of people flew down Friday. Yes. My crew kind of flew down. We met up with Dag in the airport. It was like either Friday night or Saturday morning. So everyone there had a full night partying before we got there. And from what I understand, It was quite the spectacle.
We got it in. I remember they said there was like one complimentary thing. You could go like, what do you call it when you on the wire thing and
ziplining.
Ziplining. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What the hell?
You could go rock climbing, or you had to pick one. Mm-hmm. So I chose the zip line.
Okay.
And I made it. You know, I made it through, but it was.
Zip lining in the jungle.
Well, you started. They took you all the way up in the very top, and we went the first one. I was like, cool, that was fun. They were like, nah, man, you got five more because you got to go all the way down. Zipping.
All the way down?
Yeah, like you would go, and then you would stop, you know, on a little pad or something. Yeah, it was fun.
It was a good trip.
David Alan Greer here on the Rich Eisen Show, here in person. Clifford the Big Red Dog, available now in theaters and on Paramount Plus. Joe Pickett is a new drama series that's exclusively on Spectrum starting next month. We'll hit on that in a second. And that photograph, I saw you had a Red Wings lid on.
Well, you know I'm from Detroit.
I do know that, sir.
And you're, first of all, and people are watching.
You're a Michigan man. Yes.
I mean, come on. You know how we do?
I do know that.
First of all, folks don't know, we were sharing the love for Michigan football, man.
Mm-hmm.
For Michigan to lose to Michigan State was so horrifying.
It was.
The only thing that made it right is when the rankings came out 2 weeks later. We were one up
in front of them. I don't know how that happened.
I'll tell you how it happened.
How does it happen, David?
Okay, Michigan State got so up to play Michigan because people, unless you're in Michigan or you're an alumni, you don't understand. There's only two games in the whole season. Michigan State, Ohio State.
Correct.
Ohio State is everything.
Yes.
Right under that is Michigan State, our arch rivals. It was a really good game. I mean, halfway through, I thought, we got this. Right. I was tweeting snarky stuff. They snuck us, but I heard a guy on radio say it was the best loss Michigan could ever have had.
Why is that?
Because the next week, when Michigan State was routed by Purdue, a much lower ranked team, that meant more than our almost win, yet we still lost to Michigan. Michigan State. That's why we were ranked one slot higher.
And of course, only someone with a Michigan degree, not a Michigan State degree, could figure that out.
Clearly, of course.
Right? We understand that.
Of course.
So, but why are you tweeting out during a game, David Alan Greer?
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yes, but.
Way premature, too.
You should know better.
Nah, premature, too. Like if I were a boxer, it'd be round one. Woo! Knockout, baby. 2 seconds later, I don't know. It just, I should have. He was a good fighter, you know. I have to. It was too much because I like to Jameel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I like to nag and
well,
and really,
she smoked cigars in her Michigan State jerseys after beating Michigan.
Yes.
Like she is the one that I would want to.
She started.
Well, she always does when it comes to state, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of bringing it all full circle of what you're saying,
yes,
is that Michigan is Michigan State's Super Bowl, Ohio State is Michigan's Super Bowl. The problem is for Michigan, you know, is that Super Bowl has been lost a lot lately.
Well, I don't expect them to win this year. So let's just be honest.
So are you going to tweet out during that game too?
Well, yeah, because I know what that's going to be. I know what that's going to be. So I could either go one of two ways.
How are you going to do this?
Tweet my real feeling, which is depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. Or just blind euphoria, which is we want to do. We don't want to win. See, we want to prime you guys up for next year when we knock you out. You know, but that's harder. That's harder to maintain.
It is, because it's a year-long maintenance.
Thank you.
You'd rather just get it out of the way in four quarters.
Yeah, I don't.
I love my family very much. I feel like I'm a family man. I've got this best dad ever sign that I received 2 Father's Days ago, and I'm I'm on like a Gehrig-like streak, a Ripken-like streak, as best dad ever. But on those Saturdays recently. Those Michigan, Ohio State Saturdays is when I really throw myself into my love of family, where I have to, around the first and second quarter, think, you know what? Football's not everything.
Oh, God.
You know, my kids love me.
I love
my
kids.
You know, I know that.
What about our coach? Is it true he's paying the university to coach? Because they said, bro, you got to give back all the money. All you keep is that damn jacket.
And his khakis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is he going to be there next year?
I think so. I mean, think about it, David. David Allen Greer here on the Rich Eisen Show. They just haven't won the game. And
but
it's just too.
Really need to, the nation needs to understand this. If Michigan lost every single game and only won one or two of those particular games we spoke of,
yes.
Ohio State, MU. He would be
Mouyou.
Golden. He'd be golden. MU, reference to their
agriculture.
Brilliant architecture. Agriculture.
Yes, they're very good at agriculture.
Yes.
I know
milking
that.
Them cows, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, it was so close. I was so. It took me to the height of euphoria down to the depths of I don't care. I don't care. I want to explain my outfit if you
please. Yes, for the for the radio audience, you are wearing what looks like overalls.
They are
okay.
Indeed.
And is this sort of like a seersucker
overall? It's a stripe.
Okay,
it is not what they would call a railroad stripe because it's a little wider.
Okay,
an engineer type denim jacket.
Yes.
Open road hat. My full beard. I went to pick my daughter up from school, and it was like, you know, the scene from the Shirley Temple Heidi, when Grandpa's lost in the snow, and she's in the house celebrating Christmas with the rich white folks. He's like, Heidi, Heidi, and she can't hear him, and he's all lost in the snowstorm. That's how I felt. That's how I felt, you know. That's how far away my world is to my daughter at this point. It's just. But anyway, this is what I really wear. I was going to wear a smart outfit.
Okay.
But I said, it's Rich. He doesn't want me to lie.
No, I don't. I don't. I want the real unfiltered David Allen Greer on the Rich Eisen Show.
Well,
you know, like that's what I only can come to expect and I would want. And so.
Yes. I haven't like tried to circle around and give you that movie plug. You know, it's funny you mentioned Michigan.
Okay.
Clifford, by the way. I didn't do that. You know, I didn't do any of that stuff.
No, you could if you'd like.
No, it's good. The movie's there.
Movie's definitely there. It's hugely popular.
It is.
David.
Listen, I'm just happy to be in a flick. It was pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because, you know, to do a movie back then, that was the old days. They just came and picked you up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to get up in the morning and do the survey, the health survey.
Right.
You didn't have to get tested. None of that. We just rolled in the car, you know, face naked, laughing, coughing.
And so you did this all together? So were you with John Cleese at some point in time?
At one point I was. Oh. I don't think he knew. There's a scene that we did. It was a big finale of the film.
Right.
Down at the river.
Yes.
And everybody, I mean, all the quote stars were there, but over a maybe 2-acre area, landmass. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I was there with John, but not there with John.
Got it.
And Rosie.
Sure.
Keenan, all of them. They were over there.
They were over there.
Yes.
Why were you?
Well, I play the how do you say it? The put upon building super.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're hiding Clifford. So there's a lot of, what was that noise?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, you hear some?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it smell funny in here? Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that.
Yes, right. Okay. And so that's that.
Yes. Okay. And I was true to my storyline. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't just like go and hang out.
Okay.
And it was very regimented too, because that was a day where we had to get this shot by a certain period of time, and it was all cordoned off in New York.
Okay. So so when it comes to being a put upon super, you're a method actor is what you're basically
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Like you're always in your role.
I was.
Pretty much.
I was. Okay. And I love shooting in New York. Shooting in New York is the best.
Of course. That's a
great,
that's
big hotel. Hometown. It was awesome. It was back when they would bring the rooms, like the room service would come in.
Right.
And they would just like touch your food, you know what I mean? Back in the day.
So, who was your comedic influence?
Honestly,
yes, please.
You know, comedy is generational.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was really young, I saw Richard Pryor on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, let me preface this by saying most of my young life is I would watch the Mike Douglas Show every day after school with my mom,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Mike would have like Georgie Jessel. Who was a guy, he might as well have been an alien, a foreign body.
Sure.
Because he would come on with this uniform.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in the army, but he said, I'm the Toastmaster General. And I was like, what? I don't, okay.
Got it.
And he would tell these jokes that they weren't funny.
He had a weird voice too. And
no,
stuff
there
like
was
that.
No semblance of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it. And Richard Pryor was the first comic who I saw that made me laugh, and he was talking to me,
mm-hmm.
about me, about my world. So that was.
Did you ever cross paths with him? Did you ever meet him?
I didn't want to. Really? Yeah, because I remember one time I did a play with Lynette McKee,
mm-hmm.
and you know she did Which Way Is Up with Richard Pryor, and she was, oh my God, Richard would love you, David. He would either love you or hate you, and I was like, okay, well then we don't need him.
Dude, if it's a coin flip, then
I'm good. But he was absolutely my idol.
Right.
Flip Wilson also was huge, huge. And albums back then.
Of course.
Because I remember, this is all old-timey stuff, but we had an annual paper drive, Schultz Elementary School in Detroit. Whoever brought up the biggest pile, they measured it. We would, as an award, we get to play part of Flip Wilson's album, mm-hmm. in class, Cowboys and Colored People. It was a big day at Schultz Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Flip Wilson was huge, very huge. And those two guys.
And your favorite in living color set bit that you have?
I'm going to say today.
Because I'm sure you're asked that a lot.
Right.
I might have even asked you that in a previous segment.
I'll tell you, you know, Jamie Foxx and I, we did this sketch with James Brown. And, you know, I love James Brown. I grew up idolizing him. And when he died, I was like, wow. You know, I was at home, I was going, man, I wish I could have. And I caught myself. I go, I did meet James Brown. We worked together.
Mm-hmm.
So James Brown came in and his hair was permed. And they said, whatever you do, his wife at that time was his hairdresser. They said, whatever you do, do not touch Mr. Brown's hair. This was a sketch about us, mm-hmm. f***ing up his hair. So the whole and they said, Mr. Brown, mm-hmm. you couldn't call him James, JJ, mm-hmm. B-Money. It was Mr. Brown. And do not touch his hair. So I was really scared.
So did he not know the construct of the bit or at all?
I think someone told him at some point, you know, maybe not read the script, but he's James Brown.
Yeah.
They just would come in and whisper like, okay, so when you can get up, you can do your dance and walk out. All right, Dan, let's do it. And so we would do the thing and I would pantomime touching, mm-hmm. his hair, and I was supposed to clip it, and they gave me the hair. But every time I got close to him, he would like jump, and I'd be like, Mr. Brown, please excuse me, Mr. Brown. So it was fraught with tension. It wasn't enjoyable, but at the end of the day, I met James Brown and worked with him.
Okay, but you never did, in fact, touch his hair.
I didn't touch him. I was I was instructed not to.
Wow.
I was instructed not to. But in hindsight, it was historic. And I went back and I watched it. And it was funny because I know the backstory.
Okay.
Maybe not so much to people. That's a different kind of funny.
So then what's the one that was most enjoyable for you then?
I remember one Homie the Clown in which Homie joins the circus. And I was the good clown trying to show Damon how his clown was a bad clown because he didn't have the right clown attitude. So I would come in, and the whole time it was really fun. What was fun is because I kept making Damon laugh because I had the concentration of a Robert De Niro for that particular sketch. Mm-hmm. I was Goofy the Clown to my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole day I was like, okie dokie, homie.
Right.
You know, I can tell you how to really be funny. Oh, that's a bad doobie. You want to be a good clown, you got to laugh like me. You know, and Jerry would be like, man, you don't get out of my face. You know, and I was like, what? Are we on break now, homie? You know, it was just really fun. It was fun. And I did this walk, you know. It was very funny. It was fun to do.
Do you still get residual checks from that?
Probably akin to the check you just showed.
Did you take
really?
So you did see my residuals?
Yes, okay. I've gotten plenty of those. But, you know, the thing was, technically, when In Living Color was on the air,
yes,
Fox claimed legally that they were not a real network. And they said that at the time, because that affected how residuals were paid.
Because of the number of O&Os that they had and whatever.
So affiliates. We got a lot of very sketchy, less than a dollar.
Oh,
after a while, I mean, it's been 800 years. But I think most people, like we do, you know, when I was a little kid, I was like, you know, the dude who was on Sky King, he must be a trillionaire. Because I'm watching it, and they're like, nope. You know, Donna Reed?
Sure.
She's a trillionaire. You know,
not so much.
No residual.
Clifford the Big Red Dog, available now in theaters and on Paramount Plus. Spectrum Originals new drama series, Joe Pickett. Check it out with my friend David Alan Greer, premiering December 6th exclusively on Spectrum. At David Alan Greer on Instagram and definitely on Twitter, where he's going to be sending out that premature first quarter tweet of Go Blue when it's 3-0
I'm going immediately.
Okay. I can't wait.
It's our time, baby. Woo! Yes. I'm going all in. I don't care.
By the way, that's the new drop on this show. All next week when we're previewing Michigan, Ohio State.
Oh, my God.
I need that. It's our time, baby.
Is it next week?
It is next Saturday. A week from this Saturday.
All right. Let me ask you before I go. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm nervous-cited is what my children use the word. I'm nervous and excited about
it. Well, give me something to believe
in. I think here's the way to go. Is that they time a possession, a defense that can be beaten. Ohio State's defense is their weaker side of their football team. That Michigan time of possessions them, limits their possessions, gets them frustrated. Hassan Haskins has 170 yards rushing, a couple of touchdowns, and their two ends makes it a very difficult day on offense for Ohio State. That's
so
the
we
only
gotta
way to
catch
do it.
Them sleeping.
We gotta catch them on an off day, and Michigan's gotta control the football and make plays on defense and get Ohio State off the field.
Because you know they're gonna take us for granted. They're gonna take us for granted.
No, they will not take us for granted. Never. They will be whipped up into a frenzy. That's what they do.
Can I tell you one last story?
So let's take a break and then you can come back and
tell it now.
All right. Go ahead.
No, we're just
up against it with our radio.
You killed the moment. I don't want to talk.
We'll take a break. David Alan Greer, spend the rest of our show with us.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Terrestrial Radio Network with David Alan Greer. You wanted to say a story, and you're like,
I just told you the story.
So you just
or
told
as
story.
My daughter tells me, there are utterances with no point.
Okay.
And you prove that point. Because I told the story and you doubled back.
No,
with extra emphasis.
I did double back.
Enough with that bullshit.
No,
you have the story that is supposed to be.
You're taking it the very wrong way.
So then I got out of the car, and Kevin Hart, he was like, "Where's the banana?" You know, it wasn't that.
That's a great story.
Well,
by the way.
That's only the punchline.
Okay, I see. There's no setup
only
to that
the punch
one. I got it. All right.
That's it, man.
All right. So, and you'd said off camera as well that breaking up Damon Wayans was your favorite thing to do.
Is absolutely. That was one of the reasons I talked about that sketch. Which it took everything to keep him focused because he was crying laughing the whole day because what I was doing. I was just being the character, and the more he laughed, the more I would just double down. Okay, homie. Mm-hmm. Are we on break now? Are we at lunch? And it was just fun the whole day. That's what we did.
Then it's time to do the skit, and it's no shot, right?
No. It's beautiful. It. Beautiful time. We can't do it now, though. Don't ask.
Don't, what do you mean, do it now?
Well, everybody goes, you know, oh, wow, I wish the Living Color were around. No, we wouldn't be allowed to do it.
You would not, based on what you're doing?
No, it was iffy back then. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it really was. So in this environment, no, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it.
But I think people just seeing you all back together as a cast would be something that I think many people would want to see.
It would. It's probably never going to happen just because of legal stuff. But I wanted to do it before we got really old.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're not really old.
No, but you know, like that's one of the reasons I really hate the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because you know especially in rock music, you're gods. These people we loved when we were 15, 16. In their prime of youth, and now they have, you know, colostomy bags and just, you know, no teeth.
That is what the Rolling Stones tour is called, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The colostomy bag tour, is that what it's called?
Yeah, this friend of mine tweeted, like a 15-year-old, I saw the Stones last night. I'm like, what would possess you to tweet that? These are old men. I mean, yeah, I think it's good. But
you saw him, right, Mike? Didn't you see
him? No, I didn't. I gave my tickets away.
He went to Eagles.
He went to the Eagles.
Nope. So the Eagles. Repeat what you just said. He gave his tickets away.
I gave them away.
You know what? I did see that. I saw the Stones once and in the old Pontiac Silverdome.
Wow.
Back in the late 80s. That's when I saw
them. Oh, I saw the Stones at Cobo Hall in 1972.
Wow. It was the Steel Wheels Tour, and they were so old then, we were calling it the Steel Wheelchair Tour.
This is what I'm saying. They have been old forever, but I did see them in 72 on acid, and I remember my friends dumped me off on the front lawn, and my mom came out. And she said, what's going on? I was like, this Stones are God. You don't even know. Wow, it was amazing.
David Alan Greer, everybody. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Rich.
David Alan Greer.
Everyone here.
Check out Clifford the Big Red Dog in theaters and on Paramount+. We're back to take you to the next show on Peacock in a moment.